talked a little bit about the old man, and you may remember that. We wasn't talking about your husband. We were talking about that old man that pops out of the grave every now and then. Remember that? You know, we just keep burying him, and he just keeps coming back, doesn't he? And Paul said, I die daily. It's a choice. And it's a necessity, really, to live the victorious Christian life. We just have to die to self and die to the old nature. We still possess him. He's still around. And there may be times in our lives that we would try to make ourselves believe that we're getting the upper hand. But I don't know that we're the ones that we need to ask that. We may need to ask some others that are close by us or that live with us. Maybe they could better answer that question on how we're doing with killing the old man. And the Bible says in verse 22, and we'll look at this verse of Scripture. Verse 22, 23, and 24, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and I've got some thoughts I want to bring to you. Let's stand to our feet, give you an opportunity for those of you who've been sitting for a while. And I know I realize some of you just came out here, but some's been sitting here for a while. This will give you an opportunity to stretch your legs a little bit. And we'll stand out of reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Verse 22 of Ephesians 4, we'll read down through verse 24. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us as we sort through these verses and gain some insight as to how you would have us to apply these truths to our lives. Give us some truth from your word, some precepts, some principles, some guidelines on what it is to live the victorious Christian life, what it is to put off the old man and to put on the new man. We ask you now to help us as we look to your word. May the Holy Spirit of God open our understanding to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Now, we talked about several things about the old man, and I'm not going to go back through that, okay? I don't think I have to tell you a whole lot. If you're saved, I don't think I have to really tell you a whole lot about the old man. You live with him, and you battle with him every day. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the old nature. And you don't have to really dig deep. It's just all throughout the Old and New Testament, that old nature. The old, what's called in the Bible, the Adamic nature. It's the nature that we get after Adam. And we're going to get on down and see some of the things that old man is characterized by. Some of the ways that the old man kind of shows himself in our lives. Paul discusses that. But he says it's not just about putting off. Now here's where a lot of people mess up. Done it myself, and no doubt you may have too. I can't say that you have, but I feel that probably most Christians, if not all, have had this situation. And that is, if we're not careful, we'll characterize a Christian life by the things that we stop, or the things that we quit, or that we put off. And that's not all that Paul said to do here. The Christian life is more than putting off. It's also putting on. Now, to become a Christian, you trust Christ. So we're not talking about that. I want to make that very clear here. Okay? Paul is not addressing becoming a Christian. Now, he does in other places in Ephesians, some of the greatest verses on salvation, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, Paul's not discussing that. He's not discussing how do you become a Christian. He's discussing, okay, now, what do you do once you become a Christian? Well, you have some responsibility. I have some responsibility. Now, thank God he gives us the divine nature that aids us and prompts us in making some of these moves. And so he says in verse number 22, that ye put off. Now see, you have a responsibility. You know, the Spirit of God sanctifies us, and I'm glad that he does. There is a positional sanctification. But did you know the Bible teaches that we are to cleanse ourselves too? Now there's a cleansing that comes from trusting Christ as our personal Savior. The Bible says that we are clean because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, 1 John 1:7, cleanseth us from all sin. But 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So you see, there is one side in which positionally we're made clean by the blood of Jesus, but practically we have a responsibility because we're free moral agents. We make choices. I choose. You know, Joshua told those folks even in his day, he said, look, choose ye this day. You make a choice. You're going to serve God or not, right? See, I have that same choice. You do too. Even in this grace dispensation, the new covenant, we still make a choice. So don't you buy into this now that we're just, robotical and that we have no say and that God just determines it all. No, God has given you and I, God has given us a will. And so we are men of volition. We make choices. And the choices that we make, well, we're going to have consequences attached to them. And I think we all realize this. So he says here in verse 22, that ye put off. And he said it's the former. You know, there's just that former conversation. You know, even though you're saved now, even though you've accepted Christ, these things are going to keep coming up. The things from the old life, they're going to keep coming up. They're going to keep coming up. And as I said, he addresses some of them on later down. Now, we're fastly approaching the Christmas season. And as I was looking over these notes in preparation for tonight, I thought about a phrase that we hear a lot around this time of year. Okay, Thanksgiving has passed, and some people have gone shopping, and they've done some things. Maybe you've gotten your Christmas decorations up, right? And now, it won't be long till people began to ask this question. Are you ready for Christmas? And it's amazing what people have in their mind when they ask you that question. I don't know that really any two people have the same thing in mind. Some people mean by that is, do you have all your shopping done? Some people mean by that, do you have all your baking done? Do you have all your decorating done? I mean, it can mean a lot of, some people mean all the above. Amen. I mean, have you got it all done? You know, are you ready for Christmas? Well, I really believe, and I thought about this, it just came to my mind, and I'm not so sure that the Holy Spirit didn't lay it on my heart. You know, in order to be ready for Christmas, there's a lot more involved than having your shopping list checked off or your goods baked or your home decorated. You know, in order to really be ready, and I just had this conversation with a lady yesterday, our world is ever changing, and unfortunately it's changing away from God. It's not changing, moving toward God. And I've got to tell you this, it's just at the top here of my heart. She a lady was telling me about, and maybe you've heard this, Friendsgiving. That 3 years ago, there was this movement that started called Friendsgiving instead of Thanksgiving. And she was all excited. She knows I'm a preacher. And she was telling me all about it. And she said, yeah, my daughter got involved. And she could tell from the look on my face, the expression on my face, that I wasn't all in. And so when she got through telling me about this, you know, it's Friendsgiving. You know, it's where you invite family and friends. Friends when you don't have family. And many times it's from people from different cultures. And they come over and you just get together as a bunch of friends. And they call it Friendsgiving. And I didn't jump up and down about that. And she said, you have something you want to say about that? I said, I do. I don't like it. What don't you like about it? I like Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving. Let's keep it Thanksgiving. I want to give thanks. Now, I can include friends in my thanks, but I don't want to replace thanks with friends. Let's keep it Thanksgiving. I said, that's just another way, and I mean, you know, I was very clear. I said, that's just another way for pagans to get their way in moving God out. And you know, she had just told me her daughter participated, and I said, I want to make this very clear. I'm not saying your daughter's a pagan. I'm just saying that if we're not careful, people will, you know, they'll just accept these things. I will not accept that. I'm not going to celebrate Friendsgiving. I'm going to continue to celebrate Thanksgiving. I'm not going to celebrate the holidays. I'm going to celebrate Christmas. Amen. We're not going to put up a holiday tree. We're going to put up a Christmas tree. Yeah. We don't celebrate Xmas. We celebrate Christmas. Amen. Yeah, well, she said, have you ever been to the Christmas parade? I said, I don't think they have one around here. She said, oh yeah, they have one in Standardsville. I said, I don't know if that's a Christmas parade. I said, you talking about that parade where they run a bunch of floats through and then at the end, it's supposed to be the big surprise, but instead of it being a nativity scene, it's a sleigh with a man in a red suit in it. Are you talking about that? That's not a Christmas parade. Oh, preacher, you're just an old stickler. I sure am. That's not what Christmas is about to me. Not going to change. Not going to change. So you see, we need to help people not to get confused. People get confused. And so the Bible says, put off the old man. Say, I've got a new way of thinking. I've got a new way of thinking. Say, I don't like your way of thinking. Well, read the Bible more. Maybe you'll start thinking a little bit like that. I'm not saying that to be smart aleck now. I'm not. If you can find anything that I've said unbiblical, come to me. But I'm not going to celebrate Friendsgiving. I'm not going to write Xmas. Well, that X means Christ in the Greek. Well, we're in America. We speak English. We're not in Greece. Amen. By the way, you get to accepting things like that. I had a lady actually in Sunday school now, not here at Fellowship, but at Bethel Baptist Church in Sunday school, flipped me what's called an immoral sign. Now, in Sunday school, and by the way, that is my index finger in case you're wondering if you can't see good, but she didn't flip me that finger, and she said, that means I love you in Hawaii. I said, we're not in Hawaii. Don't show me that. Amen. Hey, listen, you listen to some folks, they'll throw anything out there. I'm not being crude and rude. I'm just saying, you know, be careful. People's going to try to move you off your spot. Going to move you off your spot. And it starts with a little bit. Just a little. And then before you know it, well, here we are. Here we are. Think about that. In my lifetime, we've come to where we were to here we are. I can remember my family were not. Listen, this lady was shocked when she found out I didn't get saved until I was 19. She's a professing Christian. And I reminded her, well, see, back then things were a little different. Even people that did not celebrate Christmas as the birth of Jesus, they recognized it as that. Things have changed, and they're ever changing. Now, as Christians, we're called upon. Paul's writing to Christians. I'm not out here telling the world this. I'm talking to you as Christians. Here's what he said. He said, you need to put off some things. You know, there's some ways that I used to think. There's some things I used to do. I don't want to think that anymore. There's some places I used to go. I don't want to go there anymore. Right? Well, we put off some things. And then he said in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And really, this is where it's at. You see, this putting off and this putting on, it all begins up here. This is the battleground now. Listen to me. This is the battleground right here. This is the battleground. It's up here in the mind, in the mind. The enemy knows this. And he's out to capture the mind. Listen, you control the way a person thinks, you will control the way they act. You hear me, right? You control the way they think, you control the way they act. And so he said, be renewed. Got to think a new way. I don't want to think the old way. I think the old way, I get in trouble. How about you? Amen? You say, well, that's some things. No, I'm talking about everything. You can't pick and choose now. So well, I still like the old things. The old, well, listen, if it goes against the Scripture, or if it's throwing shade on the Word of God, I got to get away from that. If it's confusing people, if it's sending mixed signals, got to get away from that, you see. Got to get away from that. You know, there's this ever-going argument. People say, well, you know, nothing wrong with a Christian drinking. Yeah, they're out there. You can't show me in the Bible, they say, where there's anything wrong with drinking. Now, you can show me where there's something wrong with getting drunk, they say. Well, look, where there's smoke, there's fire. Just stay away from it. And so, you see, this could go in so many things. And that's what Paul's speaking of here. Don't fall into that trap. Pull away. Abstain. Pull out from that stuff. Change your way of thinking. And it'll help change the way you live. Then he says in verse number 24, you need to put on the new man, which after God, now notice we talked about this as we were closing out the last time we were in this section, which after God, not by God. So look at that word. You would think that Paul would say this, and that you put on, verse 24, the new man, which by God is created, because God is the creator. But what Paul is wanting to show here is not that what God made us, he's wanting to show us how and in what manner he made us up, which is in his own image. We have been made after God. Now, we have been made by God. But what the apostle is speaking of here in verse number 24, he said that you put on the new man, which after God. See, now, God makes no mistakes. God is holy. And whether we are willing to accept this or not, God expects me to be holy. Imagine that. Me, an old rotten sinner. God said, Dale Freeman, I want you to be holy. Now, God says that about you. God wants us to be holy. As a matter of fact, God goes beyond the want. God demands us to be holy. See, it's more than just a desire of God that we would be holy. It is a demand. It is a commandment. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so while we listen to some that would say, oh, well, and they make all manner of excuses why they can't or won't do what God says to do, well, we don't want to be of that mindset. We certainly want to understand that we have a fallen, depraved, sinful nature. But God has also given us a divine nature. And he wants us to make wise choices. So quit, we just need to quit making excuses for sin and just call it what it is. And that is essentially what Paul's saying here. See, he had just gotten through in verse 17, you ought to read it sometime, about the Gentiles. He said in verse 17, he said, they walk after the vanity of their mind. He said, your mind is to be renewed. Their mind is darkened. Look, if you would, in verse number 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, we're not that way anymore. We're in the light. We have a knowledge. You know what the Bible says? Hey, you're in the know. When you get saved, God places you. God places me. We're in the know. Aren't you glad of that? There's just some things I know now. And I don't want to sin against that. I don't want to sin against the knowledge that God has manifested to me. It's called the light. You don't want to sin against the light that God has given. And so he says here, put off, because you're in the know, because God has placed you from the darkness into the light, he's placed you in the know, put off some things. Now, this is a process, okay? It's a process. And we ought to be patient one with another. See, God may have got you in some areas where you have grown and matured, and I haven't gotten there yet. You say, oh, preacher, you're just saying that. I'm saying it because I mean it. See, there's no one Christian that's matured in every area. We're still learning and growing and maturing, some faster than others in some areas and some faster than others in other areas, right? And so we're patient with one another. We pray with one another. We don't judge one another because, well, I'm more mature in this area than they are, and so I'm going to judge them in that area. Why? So they can judge you in the area that they're more mature than you are? See, that's just not the way God intends this to work. God wants us to help one another and to aid one another and to exhort one another in the time that we are where maybe a little further down the road we can advise and counsel and exhort. And then there's times that we would need advice and counsel and exhortation when someone else is further down the road than us. So Paul said, put off, be renewed. And then he said, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness. You see that word there? And what he's saying there is God made you righteous and God made you holy. Now, why it means many different things because of times is going to give you this, okay? When he said put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, I believe with all my heart, I've researched this word in dealing with men. Do right by others. See, when you get saved, I just believe, and I know this because of the context that it's written in. One of the things that I was taught early as a Christian, and I thank God for it. I thank God for what's called hermeneutics. It's taken Scripture in the context. Well, I tell you, these people just reach in and just bring out something and just start trying to build doctrine on it. That's why there's so many. People ask me all the time, why are there so many denominations? Because people do not rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. When you take Scripture in the context in which it's given, God will give you the full mention of it. God will give you what he wants you to have. But when you just reach in and start pulling stuff out, you're messing up. You can build anything on that. And so in the context, you say, what is that, preacher? I keep hearing, well, the context really is the book of Ephesians, the full context. But the context right here, I really believe, begins in verse 17. And then the text is verse number 24 that we're talking about. That's the text. We could say 22, 23, and 24. So in the context, Paul's talking about, well, you know, they got these people that are lost, they're Gentiles, they were in darkness, and you're not that way anymore, so you put that off, and then you put this on. That's the context. Now we're getting ready for him to tell us more about what that means. So don't miss this, okay? So here we go. Put it off, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. Some people, that's all they do. They just go through their life quitting things. I'll never forget a great illustration, and it's old, and probably was used years before I heard it in Sunday school, where the Sunday school teacher, he was a major, and I think he was a major in the Air Force. He was a very strict disciplinarian of a man, and he was our Sunday school teacher for a while, Sharon and I, as we went to this church, and he talked about quitting smoking, how smoking was terrible for you, and by the way, it is. Not just because the doctors say so, because God said so. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to attack you and I'm not going to love you. I'm just telling you, it harms your testimony. It harms your body. It's just not good for you. And so he said, instead of just quitting smoking, put a New Testament where you put those Marlboro. Right? See, you've got to do more than just take away. And a lot of times when a person gets saved or they get serious about, I'm going to serve God with my life, if they're not careful, I've fallen into this trap, they just start getting rid of, they start putting off. But Paul said, wait a minute, there's more to that process. You do put off in verse 22, and then you are renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, your mind will begin to change the way you think, the way you approach things. And as you do, you're to put on. So don't just put off. Put some things on. So don't just quit some things. Start some things. Right? Well, I quit going to those wild parties. That's great. Now go soul winning. Amen. Well, I quit carrying that pack of cigarettes in my pocket. That's wonderful. Get you a soul winner's New Testament to put there, or some gospel tracts, so that the next time you see someone and God gives you an opportunity, instead of you giving them a smoke, give them the gospel. Somebody say, well, come up to you, hey, you got a cigarette I can bum from you? Well, let me see here. Oh, you know what? I used to carry them right here, but guess what I carry here now? Let me share this with you. Give you an opportunity to witness to them. I doubt they'll be bumming any more cigarettes from you. Amen. So he said, put on. Now, let's expand on this context in our 15 minutes we have left. You ready? Look at verse 25. I want to talk to you about eliminating some things. I want you to mark them. Here's what Paul said you have to eliminate. You have to eliminate some things. Now, some of you is going to look at this and say, now, I'm amazed at how many people have told me, I don't lie. I'm amazed at how I am. People say, I don't lie. Yeah, you do. Yeah. Somebody said you just told one. You're right. Psalm 58, verse 3 says that men are born liars. That's right. You come out of the womb, the Bible says, lying. And some people, unfortunately, get better as time goes on. Now, here's what the Bible says. Now, we're all liars. You say, oh, I'm not a liar. Well, how many lies you got to tell to be a liar? Don't make me have to go through that, all right? Yes, you're a liar. And I'm a liar. Now, here's what the Bible said, knowing that. Now, Paul's talking to Christians. Now, Paul's not talking, in verse number 25, Paul's not talking to pagans. Paul's not talking to heathens. He's talking to believers. He said, I'm talking to you about putting on the new man. Now, Paul would never say that to a lost person. He's talking to Christians. Since you've been saved, put on the new man. And he said, because of that, verse 25, put away lying. Just quit lying. So I'm just going to tell you like Paul told you. Just quit lying. That goes for all of us. Oh, I don't lie, preacher. Like I said, just quit lying. Just leave well enough alone. What's he talking about? Dishonesty. Don't be dishonest. You're a Christian now. Be honest. You say, have you ever been dishonest? I don't have to lie to you about that. I sure have. But see, now that I'm saved, God really deals with me about that. You know, I believe God deals with every person about that. Dishonesty. So he says here, wherefore, put away lying. Quit lying. Ma'am, quit lying to your husband. I don't lie to my husband. Quit lying to me. Sir, quit lying to your wife. Children, quit lying to your parents. Right? Quit lying. Employees, quit lying to your employers. Wherefore, I think it's very interesting that the first thing that Paul says, after he said, put off the old, start thinking different, put on the new, put off the old, verse 22, start thinking different, verse 23, put on the new in verse 24, and verse 25, stop lying. Isn't that something? Now, that's the context. That's the context. Now, lying could be construed as a lot of different things. And I'm not going to get into all the details of this. Just stop all types of it. That's for me, that's for you, that's for us. It's just better. Right? Stop lying. Then he said this. Look, if you would, in verse number 28. Stop stealing. Yeah, I know who that's for. That's for that fella down there. That's for you. That's for me. Let him that stole steal no more. Don't steal. You're a Christian now. Don't steal. Don't take things from people that doesn't belong to you. Is that what the Bible says? Amen. See, when you read these things, oh, preacher, you know, let's get to them big sins. To God, this is big sin. Lying. Stealing. Look at it. Look in verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, when you read these things, you think, now, wait a minute. This is talking about that crowd out that run the streets and in the back alley and attend and frequent, you know, wild parties. That's just talking to Christians. Quit lying. Quit taking things that do not belong to you. Quit letting that stuff come out of your mouth. Right? Hey, by the way, I done a little, this word corrupt, it comes from the word of the fruit corrupt fruit. In other words, it carries a thought of complaining. See, you read that at first sight, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And then there's a positive. See, there's a positive after many of these things. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we're talking about right now eliminating some things. Okay? Eliminate lying. Eliminate stealing. Eliminate corrupt communication. Quit complaining. Quit criticizing. And quit being contemptible. You have any problems with those things? We all do. That doesn't make it okay, though. God said, I want you to stop it. Just put that off. Put that off. Now, if you're going to put that off, you're going to have to replace it with something, right? Now, we're going to see that in just a moment. So here he said, look in verse number 31. Let all bitterness. Now, I'm going to give you just a short definition of these words. This is going to be short. Just a couple few words. Bitterness. Poison turned inward. So instead of taking poison and shooting it out towards somebody, it's just turned inward. You're poisoning yourself when you're bitter. A lot of professing Christians bitter. Bitter. Poison turned in. Wrath. Look at verse number 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, that's seething or rising anger. Wrath. He said, let all bitterness and wrath, anger, that's explosion, that's something that just blows up. Clamor. Loud and boisterous. Evil speaking, hurtful, hateful. You know what the apostle said? He said, you need to put this stuff away from you with malice. That is with the intent to hurt. You see that in verse 31? Now, he said, I want you to eliminate these things. You want to be renewed in your mind? You want to put some things off? Quit lying. Be truthful. Hey, being truthful is more difficult than some might think in everything. Quit lying. That's the negative. Look at verse number 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. So we've talked about eliminating. Now let's talk about some things he wants us to initiate. Okay? We're going to take the cigarettes out, right? But we're going to put something back in. We're not just going to quit something. We're going to put something in its place. And so here, Paul said, when you take the lying out, you're going to put something back in. Look what he said in verse 25. He said, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Just start telling the truth. Well, I will. I'll tell them what I think, and I'm going to tell them the truth too. Well, he covered that in verse 15. Go back. But speaking the truth in love. Hey, man, you know, don't just throw brutal truth out there. I mean, sometimes you have to mix truth with compassion, right? And have mercy on people. You do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Isn't that what the Bible says, brethren? So he said, quit lying, but he said, speak truth. Every man. Then notice what he said when he said, don't steal. He said in verse 28, don't steal. But he did say, go to work. Right? He said, work with your own hands, that you may have that which is good, and that you may have to give to him that needeth. In other words, don't be a taker in life. Be a giver. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking, but don't just let it all be take. It's give and take. You know, I'm amazed at how many people say, well, you know what the Bible says, preacher? The Bible says it's wrong to receive. But the Bible didn't say that. The Bible never nowhere said that. The Bible doesn't say it's wrong to receive. It just said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's a blessing to receive, but it's more of a blessing to give. And so he said, quit lying. Start telling the truth. You're a Christian now. Right? And then he said, quit stealing and work so you can have to give. Don't just expect people to give all the time. You give. Right? Well, somebody will pay the power bill down at the church. You tithe so you can be a part of that. Amen? Somebody will make sure that the things are done down there. Well, you give so you can be a part of it. It's a blessing to be a giver. Then he said this in verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But he said this in verse 29. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Right? And so instead of all, you know, just criticizing, condemning, build some people up. Tell some people, hey, I'm proud of you. You're doing a good job. Right? Hey, I'm thankful for what I'm seeing in your life. You know, all of us, if we wanted to, we could find something in each other's life, and we could just pick and scratch until we just, we're all bleeding out. Right? It's all bleeding out, you know? Listen, you won't have to look far in my life to find something you can pick and scratch at. But the flip side of that is I don't have to look far in your life either. But that's not why God has brought us together. Paul said, quit that. Don't let that come out of your mouth. He said, rather, use your voice and use your speaking, your communication to edify, to build up people. Right now, what he said, brother? Yeah, that's part of putting on the new man. That's part of what it is to put off and to put on. So he says, put off, verse 25, put on, verse 25. Put off, verse 28, put on, verse 28. Put off, verse 29, put on. He's giving us some examples here. You know? The new mind. This is a new way of doing things. You're a Christian now. And that's what he's saying here. Let all bitterness and wrath, verse 31, he said what? Be put away. Put off. What you going to put on? You're going to have a forgiving heart. Somebody does you wrong instead of getting all bitter and angry and clamorous. Look what verse 32 says. You're going to be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put that on. So here's just good Christianity, really. It's just good Christianity. Of learning what it is to put off and to put on and have change in your life. Are we still tempted to do the old? Sure we are. I told you the last time we were in this section, that old man jumps out of the grave and he wants to do all this stuff. By the way, when you do these things, notice what the Bible says in verse number 27. Neither give place to the devil. Well, I tell you, when I start walking in the flesh, when I start acting and thinking and living the old Dale Freeman, I am giving big place, much place to the devil. You are too. We should not give place to the devil. So be cautious. I'm going to close with this thought. So he said, I want you to eliminate some things. Put on. But then he said, I want you to integrate some things. Put on. Don't lie, tell the truth. Right? Don't steal and take. Work and give. Don't criticize and complain and condemn everybody. Build up and edify. Speak grace. Try to encourage people. Be an encourager. So that when people see you coming up, they don't run. You know, they're glad to hear from you because they know here comes a man with a good word. Amen? Here comes a lady with a good word. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. There's a time when you just have to tell people like it is. Listen, I'm disappointed. And this is going to stop. Don't mistake what I'm saying here. There's a time where it's your duty and it's my duty to call it what it is and to say it like it needs to be said. But there's also a time that we exercise grace and we encourage and we say, you know what? I'm proud of you. Instead of taking that opportunity to just tear them on down, right? Mop the floor with them. Build them up a little bit. I want you to know I've been watching. I seen what you did. Or I heard, or when you came to me and told me that, it disappointed me. But overall, I got to tell you, I'm proud of you. Right? You don't always have to say, you failed again. You know, what are you, a loser? I mean, come on. That's no way to encourage anybody. And then finally, Paul said, here's how it's going to be done. There's going to be three things that's going to help you to do those things. You say, preacher, that all sounds good, but how am I going to do it? Well, number one, you're going to need verse number 30. You're going to need the help and ministry of the Holy Ghost. Notice what the scripture says in verse 30. We find the Godhead. And here's the things that Paul wants us to remember about the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Here it goes. Number one, he starts with the Holy Ghost. He said, don't grieve him now. Don't grieve him. Don't grieve the Holy Ghost. Go along with him. Let him guide you. Don't resist him. Yield to him. Let the Holy Spirit be a big part in that putting on of the new man. Number two, he talks about God the Father in verse 32. He said, you be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving even as God. Now that's God the Father. So we talked about in verse number 30, God the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know what? Don't grieve him. He's sensitive. Let him lead you in your life. Let him fill you and produce fruit that will be pleasing to God. And then he said, be like God when it comes to forgiving and being kind and tenderhearted toward people. In other words, you be to others as God is to you. Is that what he's saying in verse 32? It sure is. You want God to forgive you when you've messed up? Listen, when we mess up, brethren, you know who knows it more than anyone else? We do. Right? For one of the worst things that I just can't stand it. I mess up royally, and somebody's got to come up and just, you know, almost like break it down. Let me tell you how bad you messed up. You don't have to. I already know about it. Amen? And so sometimes when we mess up, we want to do as we would have God to do to us. And I'm glad God does that. Now, sometimes God lets me know. I mean, listen, he will break me down. I'm thankful for that. But sometimes God is merciful. And as the psalmist said in Psalm 103, he doesn't deal with us after our transgressions. Aren't you glad for that? And then finally, in chapter 5, it says in verse number 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Here it is. And walk in love as Christ. Now, there's God the Son. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So what's he saying? Verse 30, yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Verse 32, be kind, forgiving, and tenderhearted like God the Father. And then chapter 5, verse 2, be loving like Jesus Christ, God's Son. So here's some good instruction for us. So what'd you preach that for? So you can be ready for Christmas. Sure did. Because you and I are going to have many, many opportunities in the next month. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Whether it's at the department stores, whether it's at friends and families celebrating the season, whether it's at restaurants, whether it's at church, whether it's in the community, God is going to give us many opportunities. And if you're not ready for Christmas with this spirit, by putting on some things, we're going to miss some of those golden opportunities to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to miss them. Not because of my selfish, rebellious spirit. I want to yield and let God work through me to help them. Let's all stand to our feet. This section of Scripture, by the way, has long been one of my favorite as far as it's just very practical. You know, the book of Ephesians is just very practical. It pretty much just says, hey, look,